Lesson of the epistle lesson from the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 11th verse. What other foundation shall no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In the name of that Jesus, the Christ, our beloved Savior and Lord of the Church, we're beloved. The reports on the earthquakes in Mexico City emphasized how unevenly the destruction was distributed. Here, a tall, imposing structure reduced to rubble. And there, just a few feet away, buildings left relatively undamaged. The tragic toll, some 7,000 lives, and yet it is amazing that given the intensity of the tremors, only a few thousand out of the many millions were killed. And even more amazing that helpless little babies, well nigh buried for more than a week, managed to survive. Yesterday, we learned that another man and another boy have been located still alive. Why does one structure stand and another collapse? Why is one killed and another saved? We really don't know any more than we can answer the question why spiritually some are saved and some are lost. Here is the old text. Why some, others not. To find the difference in God, as though he does not desire that all should be saved or that Jesus should not die for all, is to deny universal grace. To find the difference in man, his cooperation, his innate spiritual powers, is to deny that we are saved by grace alone. And ultimately, both doctrines of Scripture must stand side by side. But one thing we know, if our spiritual house is to survive the quakes and tremors of life, and ultimately the shaking of heaven and earth on the last day, that spiritual house must be built on the foundation mentioned in our text. Other foundation shall no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. No other foundation. No other foundation for faith, no other foundation for work of ministry. No other foundation for faith than Jesus Christ. Who on this seminary campus does not know that? But to apply that to our lives, to know that in every situation he is our rock and our fortress, our safety and our sure defense. Our nature, after all, is not at all different from the nature of the Corinthians to whom Paul wrote these words. We have, as Chris Zimmerman reminded us last week, the same fears, the same guilty consciences, the same devils all eager to devour us. And how shall we then stand? Do you want to find the assurance that God is your dear Father and you his child and heir of life, then go to this foundation. Jesus Christ, he says, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you want strength in the day of temptation to stand? Then build on this foundation, as we heard last week, as our substitute repulsed Satan, and in so doing also showed us how we may go and do likewise. Do you want comfort, sickness, sorrow, bereavement? Do you want to serve him with a happy heart and be rich in those good works which he has before ordained that you should walk in them? The love of Christ alone constrains us, and in this Jesus we are new creatures indeed. Other foundation can no man lay. Men have tried other foundations. Men have, as Paul makes clear in the first chapter, tried to build their spiritual house on the foundation of wisdom. If only we can unlock the mysteries of the universe, if only somehow we can find out who man is and how he works and why he does as he does, we shall find God and have peace. Yet we know that unless that wisdom rests on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it makes us, as someone has said, no more than clever devils. Alan Hutchins, decades ago, when the president of Chicago University said, "We are in despair because the keys which were to open the gates of heaven to us have only led us into a longer, more impressive prison house. We thought those keys were service and the fine intelligence of men. They have failed us." Paul says the same thing, different words, quoting God in the book of the prophet Isaiah, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." To which he adds, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And how about those who want to build their spiritual house on their own works and supposed goodness? "I do the best I can. I live according to the golden rule. These are the supposed passes into the kingdom." But how shall we find peace? How shall we know that we have done enough, that we have reformed enough? How shall we know whether God is satisfied? Those who build on that foundation are like those described by our Savior at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. You build a house on sand, and when the quaking of God's judgment begins, that house will fall, and great will be the fall. No other foundation than that which is laid. Laid already before the foundations of the world were laid, when God determined that he would send his only begotten Son to be our Savior and Redeemer. No other foundation. No one comes to the Father but by him. No other foundation, for no other name given for salvation. And we can but join Peter and come to him and say, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." No other foundation. Also for our work of ministry. Do you want a congregation that's really roused up, anxious to do evangelism, anxious to spread the gospel? Then preach Jesus, the propitiation for our sins, also for the sins of the whole world. You want a congregation that is liberal in its giving and that rejoices to bring sacrificial offerings to God? Then build them on this foundation, this Jesus, who though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. You want a congregation that hungers and thirsts after righteousness? Then lay before them the dainties of God in Jesus Christ, and they will feast with joy. You want a congregation that is a caring community, concerned about fellow Christians, concerned about the suffering in the world? Then build them on this foundation of that one who, when he saw the multitudes, was moved with compassion and went about doing nothing but good for others. You're going to be tempted to build the foundation of your work on other things. Maybe charts and graphs and programs, as helpful as those things may be. Maybe gimmicks. And others, because they like your charisma and your style. You want you to build a veritable cult based on pastor worship. Paul knew about that. You heard it in the lesson read a few moments ago. It happened in Corinth. I am a follower of Apollos. I am a follower of Paul. And Paul says, "He's Apollos, he's Paul, one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase." And everything that he did, everything that he wrote, everything that he said, in all of his missionary journeys, was based on this premise of our text. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Isaiah 28. God says of the coming Messiah, "Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation of stone, five stones, precious cornerstone, a pure foundation." Based on that foundation, we happy pilgrims will not only look for, but ultimately come to that city Christ foundation. He's greater and maker. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds free.